Welcome to the Grand Hill Chronicles podcast. My name is Don Bishop, and I write as T.S. Pedramon. Now, as you can see behind me, I have a different backdrop. I am here at Author Nation, and I have here with me author S.H. Blodgett, who also writes fantasy. Now, just to make sure I got things right, it's epic fantasy, correct? Or
correct, yes. I write new adult and young adult and fantasy. Okay.
Perfect. I mean, that's the same as me, but there are all kinds of authors here. There's wow, I just went blank. Cozy, fantasy, and all kinds of stuff. So, yeah, I think, so we spoke yesterday afternoon, kind of at the end of the conference sessions for the day. And we talked about our books and a lot of different things. So my viewers and listeners already know about Nightshade Unicorn. So, why don't we see your book? And I don't even remember the title. So what's it called?
It's called Blood and Betrayal. This new adult, young adult, fantasy crossover, because the ages do range from about 18 to 20. Uh-huh. And what we're looking at here is my furback edition. A nice wrap that my amazing cover artist, Selkie, designed did for me. And she even did a nice little limited edition.
I think you're blocking the microphone.
Oh, sorry about that.
Here.
Okay. But she did a nice little limited edition wrap around the edges as well for the back. And so you have a nice quote featured on both sides.
Uh-huh.
And she did a really great job. This one was done through Ingram Smart.
Yeah, I was going to reiterate that. So, yeah, it's got this nice spread. I don't know.
Yeah, Selkie wanted to emphasize impactful and emotional quotes within the book on the flaps and especially on the front and the back of the book. So if readers choose not to have the dust jacket, they'll still have some of the most important and emotional scenes on the actual case itself.
Okay. And I'm going to read this blurb, and I have not rehearsed this. Hopefully I pronounce these names the way that you intend. So, in a realm torn into five clans, Cain Rhea is forced to fight in the vilest underground rings for her sister's survival. Everything changes when an enemy clan, the Dusa, captures her. When offered a deal, Cain Rhea agrees to provide critical information on her former clan in exchange for her sister's rescue. Scarred by her haunting past, a life-eating curse, and an unprecedented dark prophecy, Cain Rhea must confront her fears, unearth the strength necessary to save her sister, and defy the menacing forces seeking to control her. As the son of the Dusa clan's leader, Haldin seeks a sense of worth beyond the shadows of his lineage. Fate entwines his life with Cain Rhea's when she is assigned to his ninja team. As ancient bloodlines awaken and a ferocious enemy stalks his clan, Haldin's journey forces him to challenge his father's control over Cain Rhea as he finds his purpose alongside her. Cain Rhea and Haldin must brave the destruction of betrayal, the specter of forgotten blood oaths, and the ancestors' whispers of approaching doom. A united front to dawn a new era or set the darkest prophecy in motion. Okay. Yeah, and so you pulled this out yesterday, and can I see the...
Absolutely.
I opened it up and flipped through a little bit, and I wanted to read it. I just don't have time. I have half books backed up. I like your little title image inside. Yeah, and like flipping through here, I can just glancing at a few sentences, I can tell that there's stuff going on. Now I noticed, and I brought this up yesterday, like you've got some Asian influence. I mean, it's right there on the dust jacket. It mentions ninja tea.
Absolutely.
And you have glossaries, or what did you call it here?
A world building and pronunciation guide.
Yes. So like I have a pronunciation guide in Forerunner and in Guardian, but I don't have a glossary to explain terms. But I see like ninjutsu and jonin, and so why don't you tell us about and for the viewers, yes. I am nervous. Now that it's out there, hopefully I can stop being nervous. Why don't you tell us about the Asian influences? Where do you get those? I know you mentioned anime. Do you have favorite shows or...
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's two major influences for Blood and Betrayal. The first one was, of course, an anime show. It's called Naruto. And growing up, that was one of the first animes I was ever introduced to. And I fell in love. I love the principles, I love the heroes of it. And there's just such strong scenes, camaraderie, and just so many great lessons you have. And I think that's really huge for kids growing up. And it was a huge influence for me. I love the culture. I love the world building inside Naruto. It was so in-depth and so detailed. It made me watch all 1,000 episodes, approximately between the spin-off series.
That's, I did, I had no idea there were that many episodes.
There was quite a bit.
I was quite shocked when I learned that One Piece has something like 2,000
Yes,
episodes.
and still going.
And yes, so although I think that it's in its final chapter now.
So they say. I'm not entirely sure. I have not actually watched it myself quite. But I wouldn't mind getting into it. It's just very intimidating to watch that in an episode.
I watched the live action season one, and then I started on the cartoon. And I'll put it on while I'm doing something like setting up a cover formatting. So I hired an artist to do the design, but to do like the hard cover and the paperback, I do the formatting myself, placing the elements on the page.
That's awesome.
So like while I'm doing something that's it's labor intensive, but not so much brain intensive. I'll throw on something so I don't just get utterly bored.
Absolutely. It's nice to have that background noise anyways, whether you're 100% focused or not. It's in a way, it just feels like an emptiness. And I do that too when I'm writing all day. I have to have music or a TV show or something on the background. It's nice. It feels more natural. And it's also nice to be able to tune in and hold a task too at the same time.
I don't know if I could write with a show on. I rarely write with music on. I was a music major, and so when there's music on, I usually get I'm consciously following the lines, the different instruments and whatnot, and it distracts me. I have recently, in the last couple of months, I did some writing with music on. But what's that experience like writing with a show on?
I usually just like to have the background noise and something nice that makes my area seem warm and inviting. For me, it's just closer to write with something going on in the background because then you don't hear echoes or maybe a dog barking in the background or a pen drum or something that would be distracting. For me, the noise going on automatically in the background helps me focus more because then I don't pick out those odd noises that can just happen throughout the day, like an AC unit turning on or a washing machine alarm going off. It's easier to tune out everything when the noise is predictable and it's constant. And that way it helps me focus more on my writing.
That makes sense. So, can you tell us more about, pardon me, let's let the listeners and viewers get to know you a little bit. So, where do you come from? What did you study in school? What's your background? How did
It's
you come
not
to
a big
writing?
deal. I grew up in a bookstore. My grandma introduced me to local books and bagels in Madera, California,
Books and
when I was in elementary school. And I picked up my first ever book that I've ever had purchased for me, which is called Warriors Into the Wild by Erin Hunter. And it was phenomenal. It immersed me so quickly from the first page onwards.
I don't know that. I don't know that.
The premise is from the perspective of cats, but they also have corn lands. They also have just a really interesting system in world building that just makes it so unique. And I instantly fell in love with it. I loved anime growing up, so that was a huge factor.
How would you compare it to Martin the Warrior?
With
Of
what's
Martin the Warrior?
really, I have not.
You don't know?
No, I don't.
I read one of those books when I was young, and I don't even remember what species Martin himself is. If he's a mouse or a rabbit, I'm shame on me because I really should know this.
Was he a Martin King chance?
Maybe
Maybe.
my daughter can tell you. My daughter is all into that, and she has the last several months she's been big in Nicole Young's Ranger's Apprentice. Do you know those
Oh,
books?
yes, that's a wonderful series.
Yeah, if it weren't for school and added cost, I'd totally bring her to this because
Absolutely.
she's stellar. Anyway, so what'd you study in school?
So, yes, so I started reading books back in elementary school, and from there on out, I loved reading, and I would write on the side occasionally, but never took it entirely seriously because I was focused on physical therapy at the time. And I went to school and went to college at Grand Canyon University in Arizona for physical therapy, and I graduated and got top marks. It was great. Everything was on track. And then I married my husband, who's active duty in Ghana. We ended up moving out to Germany. And that was where he got stationed first, and now lived. And I couldn't continue pursuing my higher education, so that went on the back burner for a little bit.
Okay.
And during that time, he went out for training. He was gone for approximately half a year during COVID. And as you can imagine, it's quite lonely in a foreign country, no friends and family, and new to an area that you don't speak the language very well. So we were in lockdown. I had not much else to do, so I started writing. And that's one thing I love about books is that you can flow into a world that's so unlike your head. It takes you on earth and really on around you. And writing did that to a whole new level for me. I was able to create the world that I've dreamed of. And I was able to make that world flourish and bring it to life inside my mind. And it became all-consuming in the months afterwards. That's all I would do from the moment I woke up in the morning to the time I turned off my layout at night. I was just writing. And even in between those two times, I would have dreams or I'd wake up at 2 a.m. and be like, oh my gosh, I need to incorporate that right now. So I'd grab my phone, start putting my notes app and write that down really quickly. And at the time, it was just a hobby. I didn't think I was going to pursue anything serious. But the months kept going. I finished my first book. Then I finished my second book. Then my husband returned and he started reading them and absolutely loved it and said that there's something promising there. So for Ian, he was my biggest cheerleader that really helped push me in that transition from making it something beyond just a hobby, maybe sharing my stories with the world. And that's something that I have in all my bios is that I hope my stories can find a little corner in everyone else's world as well.
Awesome. Yeah, what a gold mine. So, COVID also helped me kind of jumpstart my, not jumpstart, but get going with my writing journey. And without getting too much into that, I had done some writing before, and with COVID, I was also away at training for about 6 months. So when training ended at the end of the day, I was in Georgia. My family was in Virginia. And so I'm like, well, time to finally write that novel. And I got 30,000 words in, but
Nice.
I had a journey to go to really get
Yeah.
to producing a book. And COVID and training got that started. Also, I have been to Grand Canyon University.
Really?
I was a missionary in Phoenix.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing.
So I've been past, and I think I even went into the library to use the internet, if I recall.
I've missed her.
Yeah, just
Very nice.
to email my family a couple of
Absolutely.
times. But yeah, it's a nice little campus. But there was another thing I wanted to comment on. What's your husband's MOS? His military occupational specialty, his job.
He works in field artillery currently. He just promoted to captain last year, and he'll be taking his command here next year. And he's doing
Well,
amazing. He
congratulations to
honestly
him.
thrives in it, and I am so impressed by him every day with what he's able to accomplish and the passion that he has for helping others, especially even in his field. He does such a phenomenal job.
Awesome.
Yeah, and that's another point that I wanted to ask about your husband's involvement and or support. So like you said, he read your manuscripts and loved them. That's awesome. My so I have my two books here. I'm not going to try to make this about me, but I have Forerunner, which is available on Amazon. So I have my book one, which my wife has consumed, but she consumed it as a podcast. So after I had my manuscript, I read the entire thing out loud and recorded it. And it was a good way to catch mistakes and to catch omissions and, you know, things, random things. And then I turned that into a restricted podcast for beta reader purposes.
Oh, wow.
So like my wife listens to it and my dad listens to it. But this one, she has not read or listened to, but she was there okay. and very instrumental in the creation. And not like all the time, because our lives have been upside down. And she's got the kids to take care of. And so like, well, I've got to go out and dictate or go down to the basement and type. She's taking care of the kids and
that's
taking
a lot.
Care of all of us like that.
Absolutely.
But when I need to explore some ideas, I go and I talk to her. And that has been the way that I feel she has contributed the most in support and just being somebody to talk to and being a sounding board. So
that's a huge blessing to have. That's a huge support to have in life. And it's one of the best things that we can ask for is to have a spouse that's incredibly supportive and thoughtful and do everything in their power to make our dreams awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. This, talk about your goodies. So
sure.
We already saw the book with the dust jacket.
Yes.
And I like how you did both the case laminate and the dust jacket with different things on them. So with my books, it's either dust jacket or printed case laminate. Where if you buy the version with a dust jacket, the underneath is just blue
and
printed to look like cloth. But I like this. It's pretty boring. So show us your swag, the goodies, and
absolutely.
You're talking about, what do you call them? The boxes, book boxes.
Book boxes, okay. Yeah. They've become a very popular thing within the last couple years, what really inspired me was Freely. That's the first one I've ever signed up for, which does fantasy, young adult, and they're slowly branching out soon to include epic fantasy.
What's it called again?
Freely.
Fairy Loot?
Yes. It's a UK based, like flute, but loot. Yeah. Fairy Loot, like L-O-L.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Like treasure chest.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Perfect. Yeah. And they're wonderful. The quality of books and the goodies you get with it is so amazing. Mm-hmm. And it inspired me to do my own book box. So I recently got a few things started and slowly building up the collection of swag. But one of the first things I wanted to work on was getting a character art bookmark done. And this is what I have. So it has my two characters, Saynir and Valden. They're both there. It's one of the most emotional, impactful scenes I have in the book. And for readers,
Saymir?
Saymir.
Okay.
Yeah. That's why I have the reader's beware thing in the very few pages. I'm like, yeah, some things may not appear as you may think.
And you didn't stop while I was...
Well, I would never interrupt.
That's like coelacanth, which I always thought was a coelacanth.
Well, if you've ever seen Game of Thrones, they often call it Game of Thrones, just because of how wild the pronunciations can be of different characters. And I wanted to take a book out of that, or take a page out of that book. There we go. That's the thing.
Take a book out of that page.
Exactly. Yes. But I do have a really nice quote that's included within my book. And then I have the character, or the book artwork is actually right here on the pad. And then I overlay it with the quote. And then I have my little one betrayal. The title is down here. So that's one of the first items that I started incorporating with my book box.
And so, and you took the elements that you had and you combined them into the bookmark.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. I wanted to seamlessly integrate everything in such a way that it would go with the book box very well on theme. And if any readers would like to reuse the bookmark, they would definitely know which book that's from, no matter which book I've read, which I thought was really neat. And I love Suki's. What she did on my cover is just gorgeous. I loved her artwork so much. And I really wanted to highlight that here to show that her artwork goes further than just the paperback or the hardback. And what she did was just beautiful. So I really wanted to highlight that in the bookmark as well. And then I also have a nice little logo sticker included with it. people could put that like on now jeans, laptops, whatever they choose. It's extra protected and waterproof. So it is a very durable sticker, which I did not know the difference of until I started going in the whole deep dive rabbit hole of stickers. And there's a lot to consider about stickers, which I never thought.
So remind, can you send me the link to where you ordered that? Because I need to order some stickers of my own.
I'd be more than happy to. And the last thing that I'm currently debating is I just got the really nice fancy little business cards in. Have soft, like a velvet touch finish on the outlet. Oh my gosh, it's so gross. And I incorporated a little bit, if you could tell here, from the back of the logo. And I use that as my little stamp as well. Whenever I'm hand signing books, I have a little ink stamp that my husband gifted it for my birthday this year.
Stealing ideas over here.
Absolutely. I would do the same. I can write this all down, send this to you later as well. But he got a very cool stamp where it has this design right here. And I can just stamp it on every single book and then do a hand signature right underneath. So I incorporate that to my little business cards. And it has a little tree on the front as well that gives readers all my socials between my TikTok, my Instagram, my personal website. And if they're interested in joining my street team, I even have a for that there too.
Yeah, I wanted to ask about your street team. So I did write a few things that I wanted to remember to ask about. The Asian influence from Naruto, like I haven't watched that show, so I had no idea. 1,000 episodes.
It's quite a bit. Yeah, and that was one of the two influences that really helped me shape this book.
And Blood and Betrayal is, yeah, it says, so the series title is Legacy of the Dragon?
Yes.
Okay, cool. Do you know how long this series is going to be?
I have everything plotted out for 5 books currently, and there will definitely be some spinoffs in the future, but we're going to get through one step at a time and focus on getting the 4 series up first before spreading our wings and going out on the novellas and everything else that'll be coming out as well.
And for anybody who hasn't really read much epic fantasy, these things can balloon. So a very famous epic fantasy series called The Wheel of Time by Robert Jordan,
finished by Brandon Sanderson,
amazing,
was pitched to his publisher or his agent, I don't remember, as a 3-book series, maybe 4, but definitely not more. I think it was 3, a 3-book series, and it was 14 nice thick books. So you say 5 books?
I'd say 5 for now.
Probably 19.
You know, every year is a new year. We'll see what the future holds.
Yeah, and with Nightshade Unicorn, book one ended just like where I conceived it would end from the beginning. Book two, I had like a journey through the world. I have that kind of planned, and I figured book two was going to go here and there was going to be an event. But as I'm writing, like, it was turning out a lot longer, taking up more space than I expected. I'm like, okay,
what's this?
I had to come up with another event. Well, and no. So the event at the end of book two was already going to happen, but I did heighten it up a little bit.
Wonderful.
In order to be a good ending for the book. And then the intended book two, the original coverage of the big arc, might take another 2 books. And I honestly don't know. We'll see.
V19, we'll see.
Yeah. And we talked about your husband, the supporting. That's fantastic. And so your street team, and let's include also the tools and platforms. Like, I know you have a Facebook group for your street team.
Yes.
And I think yesterday you mentioned Discord also.
Absolutely, yeah. Discord is becoming incredibly popular, I've noticed, in the author reader community as of late. I was with Discord since basically the year was released and using it solely for gaming purposes. But I've noticed so many reader groups have been starting to transition over to Discord. And I started following them, and it is becoming incredibly popular, especially for authors and their street teams and their fans. There's so many possibilities, and you have so much freedom with Discord to build the community that you want to shape. And I absolutely love having some of my best fans there currently.
Would you, and this is a random term that I'm throwing together right now, but would you say that you have a support funnel? Like, you have readers who are just going to read the book and then go on about their lives. And then some people are going to be like, wow, that was awesome. I need to be more. I need more. I need some contact with the author. And they jump in the Discord. And then perhaps a subset, and I don't know what your system is, perhaps a subset of those become beta readers for, and your street team is like a single digit number of people, if I recall.
I do have double digits.
Okay. But it's not a huge number.
Yes. You want to be more exclusive because you want to be able to interact with your street team on a personal level. And it's harder to maintain that consistency as it grows and grows. A lot of authors can definitely manage it, especially when they have teams working to support them. As a newer author like myself, I only have me and my PA alignment right now. And we both manage my street team very well. And these people are incredible. What they have done for my books has been phenomenal. And I really appreciate everything they've done for me, especially in Facebook and other social media
and
platforms.
And for my viewers or listeners, however you consume this, I don't really aim my podcast as an author's podcast. You know, it's intended to be interesting for anyone. The original concept was to share story narration and world building and things related to that. So some listeners will probably be like, whoa, there's like Discord servers for this. Yes, there are. And I have one also, but I don't have a good healthy ecosystem because my life has been upside down. I need to sort it out. So, So why don't, can you tell us about the, from readers and authors perspective, like you have a Discord server, what's that about and how does one get in there, et cetera, and in through to the street?
Sure. So I'll start from the reader's perspective as they happen to find I have a Discord. So I do have a link tree, especially on the book boxes I send out, with my books, my website, everything is very interconnected and makes it as easy as possible for readers or potential readers to see everything on one exact location. Highly recommend Linktree. I am not sponsored by them, but I do use it avidly and incredibly appreciate how useful and easy it is.
I copycatted. I don't have Linktree. I just set up my own page after that fashion.
Oh, absolutely. It's a great model to have. And for any of my readers that happen to open up my link tree on any of my different social media accounts, websites, books, book links, et cetera, they'll see my whole list of different options that they have to go and join, whether it's my Facebook group, my generic Facebook group for readers, non-exclusive, everybody's welcome. Same with my TikTok, my Instagram, everything. About the middle of my link tree, I have my option to join the Frank Discord server. And from there, you can click on it. It'll take you into Discord. And I have a welcome page set up for readers to go ahead and read my rules, what my Discord is about. And if they like it, they can agree to the rules and they're welcomed into my Discord. From there, they're funneled into different options that they can choose from. I have different roles for them. I have different colors. I have a welcome space where we just have general chats. We talk about our dog photos, we'll talk about what we had for dinner, we'll do fun mini games within the Discord. We keep it really much alive, and it's a very nice welcome environment when you want to join. From there, people are always welcome to look at my applications for street team, ARC team, beta reading team, etc. Everything's very easy and accessible, so you know, we come back to it at your time without concerning it disappearing after a couple days or one per year. So
I'm going to interrupt you, and this might be off topic or it might be part of the system, but yesterday you mentioned Patreon. Yeah. What do you use Patreon for and how does that figure into this?
So Patreon is my first stop for all my big novels, whether it's a character artwork being released, free chapters for people to go ahead and read of unpublished works. I do commonly post little thought processes, what might be going on in the next book. So that way, if readers want to get ahead of the game and type up those peaks, they can go ahead and subscribe to my Patreon, and I'll have free chapters of stuff that hasn't been released yet. Never be forced to go through their artwork. And I try to give all my exclusive stuff there first, and some tidbits I will share over to my social media accounts afterwards. But Patreon always comes first, and for those who sign up to be a member, I always make sure to value them before anything else. So I do give them priority access. I also do intertwine that with Discord. You can link the two. And for anyone who's a Patreon subscriber, they can automatically be given a Patreon role in Discord, which gives them access to a private chat with only Patreon subscribers and myself. So that way they also get priority in one-on-one communication if they would like to talk to that group setting.
So apart from that private chat, your Discord server is a community of readers, of fans, where you don't necessarily interact personally, or how would you describe it?
So Patreon is very social media, like Instagram. Like, you post something, you can get comments and get likes, which is great, but it doesn't make for long-term communication or an actual conversation. So I take that conversational piece and bring it over to Discord, where we can talk as much as we like or as little as we like. We can send full-on paragraphs, and it'll be limited by characters or anything of the sort.
But what about what is your level of presence in the Discord outside of the private chat for the Patreon members?
I am very active on Discord. I'm very, very involved. I'm on there every single day, and I make sure to respond to everybody that does. The biggest thing for me is my readers right now, and I value everything that they do and all the time they give me. So if anyone posts anything, I will absolutely respond, no matter what.
Okay. Then what is the, I'm trying to understand the difference between the Discord server at large and that the one Patreon channel. So what's the distinction?
So with my Discord general chat for everyone that has access, that one can also just be readers.
And sorry, and these questions are so that I'm
absolutely
I have a Discord again. Yeah. It's not very healthy, and so
no, I'm more than happy to help. Even off podcast, I'm always here. I'm happy to know and share what I have. My general chat has readers also just talking to each other. So I'm not always involved in those conversations. And I sometimes, of course, I'm writing during the day, or I don't have priority. Like, that is not my priority to monitor the chat every single second or second day. However, I do get notifications for my Patreon chat. So if someone does post over there, I will pause what I am doing to go over there and check to see what they have said and respond accordingly. So for Patreon subscribers, they get priority. Okay. And my Discord server, and I will be sure to like interact with them from my general chat, and may just take some time for me to get back to them.
Okay. Because I have, with my Discord server, it was, I guess I hadn't thought the whole ecosystem through yet, but I offered that as a reward on the Kickstarter for my first book.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
So, and I had intended to set up some kind of subscription, whether it be Patreon or Ko-fi or Ream or whatever, and then give those users access to the Discord server. But I'm finding myself with too small of a community, and so I think perhaps I'll take this population that has this exclusive access and make it that private channel within the Discord server.
Yes.
And then open it up otherwise for...
I absolutely would. It's such a great way to have organic growth and that connection with your readers that you otherwise wouldn't be able to get through just their social media, like Instagram or Facebook. It can be harder to be able to speak with them and then you. I feel like Discord is absolutely wonderful for indie authors, especially those like us starting off or newer into our paths and those that have published 100 plus books. And I know as time goes, we'll grow, our audiences will grow, and we're going to grow along with it. And that's when you can really get your Discord set up in ways where you can start having separate channels and make some private and then make those exclusive to different types of members in your community. And the first thing to focus on is building up the amount of people in your Discord so that we can get more organic interaction between just readers without you having to start a conversation. I do highly recommend there's bots that you can include within your Discord. I have one that's like the question of the day bot, and you could pre-program the questions asked, and you can make that a fun game. Like every single day, hey, today's question is, what was your favorite read last month? And that starts whole entire page of just organic conversation, and it helps readers connect with each other and with you because you might have read the same book, or you can start getting book recommendations. And it's just a very nice, healthy way to be able to talk with everybody.
Cool. Yeah, I did not expect to be talking this much about Discord.
Me either.
And so then with Patreon, you might have already stated, sorry if I missed it. What else do you do with Patreon aside from Discord access?
Right now, I just, like I said, I just post everything that comes out first there. And I just focus on doing that. And then I give all my other very divided attention to everything else afterwards. But for now, I'm a relatively small author. I am brand new. And for now, I don't have any concrete paths to really expand on that. I'm waiting to get my audience built first and make sure that those that are already following me feel very heard and I can keep my promise going with them as well. In the future, I'll definitely expand and do a lot more Patreon, but for now, that's more of a thing.
Cool.
Yes.
Yeah. I think we talked about all these things. We should talk about Mother Nation.
Absolutely. I'm so excited and thrilled for the opportunity to be here.
Yeah. So for anybody who hasn't heard me talk about it, because I've been super busy and haven't published many episodes of the podcast recently. Like the previous episode was, according to YouTube, 1 month ago, but that could be 3 weeks or it could be 6 weeks. I don't know. And then before that, it was a couple of months, but that's because I was head in the sand, not in the sand, but I was underwater trying to get this book finished and published.
I understand. It's a mountain to climb for sure.
So yeah, Author Nation is a conference for independent authors, and it takes the place of 20 Books Vegas, which was the conference, takes the same week in the year, the same venue, and mostly the same people, but the management changed and the 20 Books brand went with that. So Author Nation is the conference now, and we're here attending sessions and learning about, there are sessions. I remember last year there was one called Make Your Book Unputdownable.
Yeah.
So that's the writing craft. And then there are sessions about how to handle your finances. What should we call it? Accountants.
Yes.
Here and ready to, which they're looking for customers. And there are people here who need that service. So the whole gamut of independent publishing, it's great. Then Friday will be a different thing. It'll be RAVE, which stands for Reader Author Vegas Event, or Reader and Author Vegas Event. It's a big book fair. So I don't know if I'll get this published. I usually publish on Thursdays. Let's see if I can get this pushed out. It shouldn't take too much, which we call it, editing. So we'll see. So you may be hearing this after the fact. But if you hear this before the fact and you're in Vegas or within range of Vegas, come to Horseshoe Hotel and on Friday, the event starts at 10 a.m. and it's a big book fair, and you'll be able to get Blood and Betrayal. Do you have other books yet?
Yes, I do. That's book one in my latest series, Legacy of the Dragon. And then I do have another book, Shield of Ruin, out currently. That's a different series called The Ruined Destiny.
What do you see as your, this is off the top of Rave, but what do you see as your publishing pace? How often, so you already had some manuscripts already. What's your production pace going to be?
Well, that's what I spent most of this year exploring, and I think I've finally found a sustainable rhythm for the coming years, and I hope to put out at least 3 books a year in the next couple of years. I have 3 on track for next year. I'll have my first box set out as well, which I'm very excited and thrilled about, and hopefully Kickstarter as well, fingers crossed. So we'll see how the coming year goes, and that's one thing I've really appreciated both from 20 Books and Author Nation, is that these kind of conferences can really help us discover what we are like in our author journey. And what to predict and where to go next.
Okay. I think that probably kind of wraps things up, except I want to do show and tell for my own stuff really quick. So if you're going to be here, I have my two books. I only have the two titles so far. They're going to be available hardcover, paperback, and ebook. And I'm also trying different merchandise. These I have bookmarks. They didn't turn out quite as well as I had hoped. So I don't know if I'm going to, I don't know. I don't have a set price for them yet.
I think the characters are put on here.
But these, yeah, I just like, I set eyes on them for the first time this morning. I ordered them before I left Virginia and had them delivered to the house of an author who lives here in the Vegas area. And he handed them to me this morning. So I am excited to have them. I wonder if I should have gotten them gloss instead of matte. I'm also doing some 3D printing, and I haven't placed a price on these yet, but I downloaded a unicorn model online, and I paid a few dollars for it. I made sure to buy one that gave me commercial license. And then I changed, well, I've printed some with the classical spiral corkscrew horn, but the Nightshade Unicorn is described as having a blade-like horn, and it's depicted as such on the book covers. But I am not a 3D artist very much, and so I did a very simple blade-like horn for that. And then I started printing a bunch of these. So we have, basically, if you've read the book, you probably haven't read book 2 yet, but there's Hronimon and the Nightshade Unicorn right there.
I love the contrast of colors. It came out very well.
Yeah. And I've experimented. So like if you're here on Friday, you're going to see with different colors of bases, from bronze to red and green.
That's awesome. So,
a little bit of experimentation, but then I thought, you know what? I really should have unicorn horns.
Oh, like, absolutely.
Just a unicorn horn to have and play with or sell on your shelf as a display item. So I fought with Blender. This is my first Blender model right here. And that's a unicorn horn printed in bone colored filament.
That turned out really well.
Yeah. And then I felt like it needed something at the bottom rather than just being plain and flat. So I kind of made a little cap for it with the Nightshade Unicorn logo design on there. But I know not everybody necessarily wants to be like canon accurate. So I've been printing in different colors as well.
That's really fun.
And then in Tinkercad, another tool which is very basic and not as capable, but easier to use. Not as capable as Blender. In Tinkercad, I made a Nightshade Unicorn form. And it was fun to make. I think it's fun to have. And they're both hollow inside. And again, I have played with different colors. Good.
You have to click them on. They're awesome collection.
You got it. Such a awesome.
Absolutely.
Thanks. I have not set prices on them yet. I'm still researching that. What would be appropriate based on the time that I put into them, the material of the filament, and the, you know, what else could I do with the printer? And it's being monopolized by one print at a time. So anyway, I think that's a wrap. Sorry to be probably boring at the end.
Oh, not at all.
Be the one monologuing, but yeah.
Thank you so much for having me on your podcast.
Sydney, thank you for coming on.
Oh,
where can readers find your books? If they're not here on Friday, where should they go?
www.shblodgett.com. I have my website from there. Everything here I have directed, especially through my Linktree.
Okay. So they can, like, if somebody prefers to buy from Amazon or from Apple, they can find links there.
Absolutely. I have my books wide. So Amazon, Barnes & Noble, pretty much every major retailer, you can find it online. And I also do my direct book box listing on my website.
Cool. All right.
Thank you. And we'll catch you next time
on the Grand Hill Chronicles podcast.